perplexity is often the place where God will meet you. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That sounds interesting. If you were wondering, that was Steve Brown and I'm Mike Kellogg. The program is Key Life. Relevant Bible principles without stuffiness and nonsense. Now here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. Keep your Bible open. We're going to be referring to it as we go along. We're talking about questions, not answers to questions. We may do a little bit of that, but we're talking about the fact of questions and the people, the twits who tell you when it hurts, don't ask questions, just deal with it. You're a Christian, and after all that Jesus has done for you, don't listen to those people. He knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we're dust. He knows we're human. Now, I want to give you a passage of Scripture, and I want to talk about it just a little bit in the context of our conversation about questions. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, there's a really interesting occurrence between the time John was in prison and the time he was executed. You probably remember the story, unless you're a brand new Christian, because there are a lot of sermons on it, but John had been God's man, the forerunner, the one that made way for the coming Messiah. He baptized Jesus. He was Jesus really was big on John, and John said what he thought, and he meant what he said, and he was pretty strong. He ate locusts, bugs, and honey, and wore animals' clothes. I mean, this is not the kind of guy you invite to the ladies' aid social. And John, at any rate, he offended everybody. But he offended everybody in the name of God, and it really was God. Well, he offended the king, and they threw him in jail, and that was a family matter where he criticized Herod. I'm not going to go into that. I don't have the time. But he said some really bad but true things about the king. Then the king was plastered one night at a party, and his daughter danced. You think things are bad in America and Canada, the debauchery. I mean, that's always been true, fallen human. Anyway, so his daughter danced, probably naked before him, did a very seductive thing. He and his friends were quite impressed with his daughter, and he said, I'll give you anything you want. And she went to her mother, who was ticked about a whole bunch of other things, especially about John and what he had said about her. And she said, ask your daddy for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Now, that happened, by the way. And before John was executed, before his head was cut off, he's in jail. Now, if you've got your Bible open to Matthew 11, 2 through 6, this is what Matthew writes. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? You don't say, what? You just baptized him. You already said that he was. What's wrong with you, John? Now, that's not in the text. Let me continue with the text. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. You see it? John was in prison. He knew he was going to die. His rope had broken. I mean, this is a scary place for him. But he had been hanging on to one thing, the fact that he had been called by God to proclaim the coming of Messiah. His faithfulness was giving him a certain degree of satisfaction. He would say, I'm going to die, but I did what God told me to do. And then John had a passing and really scary thought. Wonder if Jesus is not the Messiah. What if I miss the point of my entire life? What if I've blown this whole thing? You see, John had given up a lot for God. He had given up the comfort of family and friends, his wife and the home. He'd given up the things that make life bearable. Hadn't been easy, but he had done it for God. Perhaps he had consoled himself with the thought, God will bless me for my faithfulness. I've given him so much, God's going to balance the books. And then suddenly one day, instead of receiving a blessing, John was thrown in prison. On the next day, he was scheduled to die. His rope had broken. I mean, can you imagine? And one thing he depended on looked as though it might come apart. Jesus had seemed to be the Messiah. He had fulfilled the prophecy. But Jesus had not become the reigning king that a lot of the prophets said he would be. He hadn't come in on a white horse. He hadn't destroyed the Romans. He hadn't gotten a sword and a howitzer and fixed everything. And that was kind of worrying, John. It was a time for questions. Now let's look at the kinds of questions reflected by John and his disciples. First, there are intellectual questions. John wanted to know intellectually whether or not Jesus was the Messiah. God has given us minds that are hard to turn off when things are hard. Aside from the hurt and the anguish, we ask honest, profound, intellectual questions. I remember at a skeptics forum one time when a young man, and he was gay, and he was a counselor, and when he was a kid, he had lost a hand in a tractor accident. And he stuck that stump up in the air, and he said, "Where the expletive deleted, was your God when this happened?" And then he stopped from the emotion and began to ask some very, very telling questions. The questions reflecting our hurt are similar to the questions John and his disciples ask. Is all of this we have believed really true? How could this happen from the hand of one who taught so much about love? If he cares for me so much, why did it turn out badly? One of the problems that I have with people who say that God will heal every disease and every pain and make you healthy and wealthy and wise if you exercise the principles is that kind of teaching means that when bad stuff happens, and it really happens, you're going to have some questions, and you could lose your faith over it. Sometimes the pain will blur the questions, but they're always there just under the surface. So when John the Baptist struggled with intellectual perplexity, he was human. When his disciples endured emotional perplexity, that was human. They wanted to know, and the intellectual questions came from, they wanted to know if they should look for another Messiah. It was too late for John. He was going to die. But the disciples had invested emotionally in John and what John believed, and they thought of the future. They were scared. They needed a clause. They had some legitimate, honest, intellectual questions. And then, it's not just the intellectual, though. There's a lot of visceral stuff going on here. When you go through pain or suffering, you have a lot of emotional perplexity that corresponds directly with our emotional involvement in the situation. When you're going through divorce and you're glad and you just wish the turkey would go away, you probably aren't going to have a lot of emotional perplexity. You're just going to be glad to get out of it. But let me tell you, 99 and 99, 100% of the time when you go through divorce, that's a painful, hard time. And you go through it and you get emotionally involved in it. I can't tell you the number of times, that women have said to me, "I thought God was for marriage." And then they, and you think, "All right, I'm getting ready to answer the intellectual question." And then they begin to weep. I've had guys come to me, big old guys, football player looking guys, who are going through divorce. And they say, "How could God," the intellectual question, and then before they finish the question, start crying. When you go through difficult times, you get your, we're not just minds walking around on legs. I mean, it's not that we have some questions and we must resolve this in order to be faithful. Man, it gets down into your bones. It keeps you awake at night. It makes you afraid. So those kind of questions come too, the emotional perplexity. And then there's the existential perplexity. And John faced that. Matthew says that when John heard about the works of Jesus, he sent his disciples to ask questions. John was going to die. This was important. Not that he might write a book about the problem of pain, or that he can get a Kleenex to wipe his tears. He was going to die. And this had to do with him, his ministry, his life, everything he had given himself for. So he began to ask questions. a person who's going through, man, I've been there, not as bad as a lot of you guys have, but, you know, I've been around people I loved who, you know, all my life have gone through hard stuff. Questions are to be expected. How can this happen to me? I mean, does this mean my life is meaningless? I mean, it gets, you can't speak as an outsider of the human race. Now listen to me. Jesus could have easily said to John's disciples, I can't believe it. John the Baptist, the prophet of God, is questioning. He's frightened. You go tell him to pray about it and read the Bible a little bit more. He needs to remember he has to be an example for the troops. He must not question. He must not question. Tell him to keep his questions to himself. Jesus didn't do that. He answered his questions. Tomorrow we're going to talk about it. Jesus is a lot different than some people have told you. When it hurts, he knows. He'll accept you. Tell him the truth. Ask him your questions. You think about that. I'm in. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of Key Life Tapes, let me tell you how it works. Once you give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or in Canada, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, and ask to be a part of our tape family. We'll do it for you. Then every 7 or 8 weeks, you're going to get a tape absolutely free. And these are not the tapes of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us, we'll tell you how. These are places where I teach the Bible at Reformed Seminary in the chapel or at the Cove or Lake Barkley Fellowship. And we take those and send them out to our family. And they keep coming as long as you want them. And they're absolutely free, and I really mean that. So let us know. Now, can we talk? This is so expensive, this ministry. I stay awake sometimes at night. And I don't want to beat you over the head with it, but pray about it. And if you can help us financially, I sure would appreciate it. And you help a whole lot of other people. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, or include it in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching Forgiven and Forgotten. Hey, listen, I've got to go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.